2 Samuel chapter 22. And our text for this evening is found there in the second verse. For there in verse 2, David says in the words of this song, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer." Verse 3 reads, "The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield, the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence." You will, I'm sure, have noticed from our reading tonight exactly when the words of this song were spoken and written by the Lord's servant. But we are told in the opening verse, "And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song." When? In the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies, and out of the hand of Saul. Now evidently, David was very fond of this song. This indeed was one of David's favorite songs, because it is repeated again as Psalm 18. Here it is recorded in Israel's history book, 2 Samuel 22. And then in the Psalms it's recorded, you could say, in Israel's hymn book. This is the song of a grateful heart, overwhelmed by the awareness of the manifold and marvelous mercies of God. That's what this song is all about. For he wrote this song to commemorate a great deliverance. And he rehearsed the words of this song in the ears of the Lord in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies, and out of the hand of Saul. It's interesting, the word hand there, the hand of Saul, is the same word that David used when he spoke about the Lord delivering him out of the hand or out of the paw of the bear and the lion. And so in the eyes of David, the Lord's deliverance came to him as it had come to him when he delivered him out of the paw of the lion and the bear. He wrote this song to commemorate that wonderful occasion when God delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. At a time for David, everyone and everything seemed to be against him. It was then that God delivered him. And in the opening verses of this song, David speaks about his God and what God meant to him. Indeed, where the song is recorded in the book of Psalms, it begins with these words, "I will love thee, O Lord, my strength." Words that we don't have here in 2 Samuel, but words that are found in that 18th Psalm. "I will love thee, O Lord, my strength." Now the love that is referred to there is of the deepest kind. The words may be rendered, "From my innermost bowels will I love thee, O Lord." Here was a love that came from the innermost part of David's heart. I will love thee. David might as well have said, I will love thee, Lord, with all of my heart. And isn't it true that when the Lord comes and He's been especially gracious to us, our love for Him intensifies, our love for Him deepens, and we love the Lord more than perhaps we've ever loved Him before. We have been so stirred in our hearts by the goodness, the mercy, and tokens of God's grace that we cry out, I will love Thee, O Lord, my strength. Why? Because, Lord, Thou hast been so good to me. I will love Thee forever. It is then that David speaks about what the Lord meant to him. After he has expressed his love for the Lord, he then tells us why he loves the Lord so much. For he says, the Lord is my rock. Here in these verses 2 and 3, David is expressing what the Lord meant to him. If I were to ask you tonight, what does the Lord mean to you? How would you put that into words? How would you express your feelings with regard to what the Lord means to you? Think of that for a moment. What would you write down? Well, this is what David wrote. The Lord is my rock. So the Lord meant to David. The Lord was his rock. He goes on to say, the Lord is my fortress. He doesn't finish there. He says, the Lord is my deliverer. And he goes on to say, the Lord is my shield. The Lord is the horn of my salvation. The Lord is my high tower. The Lord is my refuge. The Lord is my savior. And here is David expressing his love for his Lord, seeking to put into words all that the Lord meant to him. I want to take the first title that David gives to his Lord. The Lord is my rock. The first line, as it were, the first stanza, the first words of this song, David begins with, the Lord is my rock. Indeed, the name and the title for the Lord that David was very fond of using. And dear Christian, is this not what the Lord is to us? Isn't He our rock? Isn't He the rock of our salvation? The Lord is my rock. And looking at this rock, we see that it is a divine rock. This rock is divine because he's speaking about the Lord. David said, the Lord is my rock. That's what the Lord was to me, he's saying. When I faced the jealousy and the rage of Saul, and everyone seemed to be against me, when I feared for my life, when I said there is but a step between me and death, why, in that time of despair, when I felt I was in great danger, let me tell you, the Lord was to me a rock. The Lord is my rock. And oh, believer, can we not say the same? Use these same words that David used. Have there not been those times in your life and mine when, as it were, the foundations beneath us were shaking? We wonder what the future held. It's seemed to be trouble in every hand. Problems we couldn't solve. We were able to say in those times, the Lord was my rock. He was a rock unto me. First of all, He's the rock of salvation. David was fond of using this title, as we've already said, when speaking about the Lord. He's written in Psalm 62, twice over. In that Psalm, verses 2 and 6, he said, He only is my rock and my salvation. Again, he wrote in Psalm 89, in verse 26, He shall cry unto me, Thou art my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. Isn't that what Christ is to us? Believer, isn't He our rock? The rock of our salvation. When David said, The Lord is my rock, can we not unite our voices with David? Say, yes, David, the Lord is my rock too. He's the rock of my salvation. And David described our situation very well before our feet were placed upon the rock. In Psalm 40 and verse 2, He brought me up also out of an horrible pit and out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock, established my goings. When you think of it, believer, it was indeed an horrible pit that we were sinking into when we were still in our sin, before grace had reached us. We were descending into an horrible pit. It was a pit that was indeed the abode of lost souls. It was a pit that indeed offered no hope to all who descend into it. An horrible pit. If you were to turn to Psalm 40 in that verse 2, you would find in your margin that the word horrible, horrible pit, may also be translated a pit of noise. It was a frightening pit for any soul to fall into. It's a pit of noise. What is the noise that can be heard in that horrible pit? I believe it is the screams and the groans of lost souls. It's a horrible pit indeed. An horrible pit that is described by John as the pit into which Satan will be cast. And in Revelation 20 and verse 3, it is described as the bottomless pit. Why, the psalmist described it well as an horrible pit, a pit of noise, a bottomless pit, a pit which offers no hope to anyone who falls therein. And believer, that's the pit that we were descending into when Jesus came and saved us. Would you turn with me, please, to the book of Job? Job mentions this pit also. Book of Job, chapter 33. And there we read in chapter 33 of Job, verse 24. Then he is gracious unto him and saith, Deliver him from going down to the pit. Why should we be delivered? The answer is, I have found a ransom. And again, in your Bible margin, you'll see the word ransom. It's translated atonement. deliver him from going down to the pit, for I have found a ransom. I have found an atonement. You go on down the chapter there in Job, the verse 28. He will deliver his soul from going into the pit, and his life shall see the light. Lo, all these things worketh God oftentimes with man, to bring back his soul from the pit, to be enlightened with the light of the living. We can praise God tonight, believer, for that day and our experience when God brought back our soul from the pit because of a ransom. Because of an atonement. Because of the atoning work of Jesus Christ, God has delivered us out of the pit. Where did he place our feet? Why, he placed our feet upon the rock. Before we were saved, we were sinking and sinking and sinking deeper into that pit. Then Christ redeemed us through his atoning death, his atoning blood, and he set our feet upon a rock. My, when your feet are upon the rock, there's no sinking there. Praise the Lord, we're upon the rock, Christ Jesus. He's the rock of our salvation. For it was upon him that we were placed when he saved us. Are we not glad tonight that we're no longer sinking down into that pit? But praise God, we're upon a rock. The rock of our salvation. So the Lord is our rock. It's the rock of salvation. It's a saving rock. It's a single rock. What did David say? David says, the Lord is my rock. And when David speaks about the Lord being his rock, he always speaks of just one rock. He's speaking about the rock of his salvation. And so there is only one rock of salvation, and that rock is Christ. Turn to Psalm 62. Psalm 62. Here he's referring to and speaking about that great rock again. Psalm 62, verse 1, truly my soul waiteth upon God, from him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Verse 6, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation, my glory, the rock of my strength. There's only one rock of salvation, and that rock is Christ. Well, then, Luke record in Acts 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none under name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. No other name, no other rock of salvation. And yet in spite of this great truth, men continue to believe that there is another way of salvation. Men continue to foolishly look for another way, but there is no other way. They'll not find any other way. There is but one way, one Savior, one rock, and the rock is Jesus. The rock is Christ. He is that sure foundation. The Lord himself has told us that. He said, I am the way. See, there's no other way. And the psalmist has said, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. Wait thou only upon God. It's a saving rock. It is also a single rock, and it's a special rock. He said, the Lord is my rock. No other name is mentioned, but the Lord himself, the God of his salvation, which means that this rock was special to David. Believer, is Christ not special to us tonight? He's special to me. He's special. For there is none like him. As David again said in 2 Samuel 22 verse 32, for who is God save the Lord? And who is a rock save our God? That's what David is saying. There is no rock like our God. There is no one like him. Who is like unto him? No one. That's the answer. David was saying, there is no God like my God. And believer, you and I tonight can say the same thing. There's no God like our God. There's no Savior like our Savior. There's no rock like our rock. Oh, to fill us with joy tonight that we have Christ as our rock. It was David's song. It's our song also, is it not? There's no God like our God, no Savior like our Savior. And we can go on to say there is no rock like the rock upon which we stand. It's a sure foundation. We can depend on this rock for eternity. Praise the Lord. We can depend on Christ for eternity. 1 Samuel 2 and verse 2, we can say with Hannah, I rejoiced in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. No rock like our God. None. And again, as we were singing tonight, O Christ, salvation rests secure. The rock of ages must endure, nor can that faith be overthrown which rests upon the living stone. He's a living stone. He's the living rock. Unfortunately, many today are putting their hope and their trust and their faith in that which will fail them on the day of judgment. It will not stand the test. No, there is but one rock. That rock is Christ. On Christ, the solid rock, we stand. All other ground is sinking sand. What are you depending on tonight for eternity? Are you on the rock, Christ Jesus? Are you building on the sand? It'll cave in. Your building will fall. And the storm of God's wrath blows upon your building. Moses said in Deuteronomy 32 verse 31, for their rock is not as our rock. Others are building on rocks, the rocks of their own works, rocks of the labor of their hands. As we were singing tonight the words of Horatius Bonner's hymn, not what these hands have done. No. It's what Christ has done. And when we're depending on Christ and have our faith in him, we're standing on a solid rock. the rock of our salvation. He's special to us tonight, is he not? Then we notice regarding this rock, the rock is divine. Because David says, the Lord is my rock. Also, the rock is dependable. Dependable. The Lord is my rock. David proved it. When, because of jealousy and rage, Saul sought the life of David. Yet David proved the Lord to be dependable in the midst of such trouble. I wonder where he got the idea from. That is, likening his Lord unto a rock. I wonder, was at that time when he was held up in the cave of Adullam? For in 1 Chronicles 11, in verse 15, now three of the 30 captains went down to the rock to David. Went down to the rock to David, into the cave of Adullam. The host of the Philistines encamped in the valley of Rephaim. Went down to the rock to David. David was hiding in the rock. The literal rock. But he was also hiding in the spiritual rock. He was hiding in the Lord. And possibly as David hid there in that rock, he thought about his Lord and said, isn't this just like my Lord? My Lord is my rock. I'm hiding in him. Blessed rock of ages. We can say tonight we're hiding in thee. And hiding in the rock perhaps suggested this to David. The Lord is my rock. I'm safe. I can depend on him because he's my rock. Since he is our rock, we can depend on his presence, being with us. Speaking about the rock which was with Israel in the wilderness, Paul said that that rock was Christ. Listen to what he said. Israel and did not all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of the spiritual rock which followed them. The same spiritual rock which followed them. And that rock was Christ. And so the children of Israel, as they wandered in the wilderness, the Lord, Christ, was with them, followed them. The rock which was smitten by Moses, out of which came the water, satisfied the thirstings of the children of Israel. Their spiritual longings were also satisfied by Christ, who followed them. Believer, Christ is our rock. And he satisfies the hungry and the thirsty soul. The soul that longs for spiritual things will find their needs ever met, always met, in Jesus Christ, the spiritual rock. He is our food. He is our drink. As Paul said, that spiritual rock followed them. But there's more. The spiritual rock followed them. But the word followed may be put another way. The spiritual rock went with them. That brings the spiritual rock even closer. He not only followed them, he went with them. And David proved that. When David faced the Philistines, he could say, "My spiritual rock was with me." When he was hunted and hounded by Saul, he could testify, "My spiritual rock was with me. He was right beside me." Dear child of God, when we face the souls of this world, there's one thing we can depend upon. Jesus Christ, our rock, will be with us. Right beside us. When we face the Philistines of this world, we think there is no hope, there's no chance of a victory, we can be sure of this: Christ, our spiritual rock, will be with us. With us. With us in the battle. With us during the night. With us in the valley. With us all the way. We can say with Paul, and Paul said at my first answer, "No man stood with me. All men forsook me." Are there not times when you feel that that's what has happened to you? There's nobody to stand with you. Seems as though everybody has forsaken you. But then you can say this: "Nevertheless, the Lord stood with me." Rejoice, believer, in this great truth, in the dependable presence of Christ. Whether in life or in death, Christ will be with us. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. Upon that you can depend. You can depend on that. You can depend on that. He'll not leave us. You have his dependable presence. You have his dependable protection. David hid himself in the cleft of the rock. David hid himself in the Lord. You remember when Saul went out after David and threw that javelin at him? He wanted to murder David. The javelin passed by and went into the wall. The Lord protected David at that time. The Lord steered the javelin away from his chosen servant. David was protected. And once again, when David wrote this song, he was speaking out of experience. And again, when Saul was relentless in his hunt for David, David's rock once again was his protection. Praise the Lord. It's great to have such a dependable one who will protect us. Psalm 61 verse 2. "From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee, when my heart is overwhelmed." This is David's cry. "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Oh, believer, when you find yourself in trouble and everything seems to be against you, make that your prayer. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. I don't want to seek refuge or safety in anyone else or anything else. Just lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And that rock is Christ. That rock is Christ Jesus. In Psalm 94 and verse 22, he wrote, "But the Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge." Didn't look anywhere else but to Christ. The same protection is afforded to every blood-washed, blood-bought child of God. He protects us in our going out and in our coming in, and our down-sitting and in our uprising. He protects us in the daytime. He protects us in the night season. When we're asleep, His eye is still upon us. Not a blessed thought. It's not a great comfort to us. His eye is always upon us. And David has reminded us, 1,000 shall fall by at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Read over that great Psalm 91. It's all about God's protection. It brought comfort to many a lonely soul. Now, He protects us also. Protects us physically, protects us spiritually. Protects us from the onslaughts of the evil one. Satan, the one who hates us. Praise God, Christ protects us. Puts a circle of the blood about us. And that leaves us beyond the reach of the evil one. Devil can't reach beyond the blood. Praise God. We're safe, believer. We're safe. Safe from the hand of the evil one. We read in Deuteronomy 32, again, the words of the song of Moses. 32, verses 9 and 10. The Lord's portion is His people. What a blessed word that is. The Lord's portion. We are precious to the Lord. We are His portion. We are His delight. Jacob is the lot of His inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in the waste, howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of His eye. That's what we are to the Lord. We're the apple of the Lord's eye. Some have said of the child, "Oh, he's the apple of his father's eye." We are the apple of the Lord's eye. Why, what a privilege. What a position we have in Christ. We're the apple of His eye. You know how we protect the eye? God protects us. He protects the apple of His eye. That's what we are. But then, not only depend on His protection, can not only depend on His presence, this rock is also the rock of provision. We can depend on this rock providing for us and meeting our every need. Remember how He provided water for Israel? It came from the smitten rock. Speaks to us of Christ. Christ was smitten. He did more than provide water out of the rock. Moses wrote in his song, speaking of Israel, he said, He made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat of the increase of the fields. And he made him to suck honey out of the rock, and oil of the flinty rock. Once again, the reference here is to Jesus Christ. Made Israel to suck honey out of the rock. That we suck honey out of the rock, Christ Jesus, every day. Isn't Christ sweet to our taste? Praise the Lord, He is. He's as sweet as honey, yea, as the honeycomb. How sweet is Christ to you tonight? How dear is the Savior to you? You can depend on Him providing for you, for all your spiritual needs, all your physical needs. This is a truth which David was able to testify to. Listen to this, Psalm 37, verse 25. David says, I have been young, and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed, his children, begging bread. David is saying, through all my years, I have never once experienced the righteous forsaken by the Lord, or any of his children left to beg bread. He has provided for them every day. We can add, surely, our amens to that. He provides for us every day. Remember those days, my student days. There wasn't too much to go around. You wondered how we were going to make ends meet. Studying. Caring for a church. How would we make ends meet? Ah, the Lord always made ends meet. He provided for us every day. Every day. You can depend on the Lord providing, meeting your every need. He is our honey. He is our drink. He is our meat. He is our bread. We're all that we need. He is all that we need. He's all that our soul needs. Jesus Christ is everything to us. Praise His name. And finally, He's the rock in which David delighted. The rock is his delight. In the words of this song, David is praising the rock of his salvation. His soul delights in the one who had kept him and delivered him and provided for him. There's his praise. Look there at verse 47 of 2 Samuel 22, verse 47. The Lord liveth. Blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of the rock of my salvation. Let us be a praising people. Praising the rock of our salvation. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of the rock, my salvation. We praise Christ, we praise our Heavenly Father, the God of our rock. This is the praise. And in Psalm 91 you have His plea. Listen to these words. In Psalm 95, in verse 1. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. I believe that verse is written for me. Make a joyful noise unto the rock of our salvation. That's his plea. Come, he says, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise unto the rock of our salvation. He is our delight. He's one upon whom we can depend. He's the one who has delivered us. He is the divine rock. He's the God of our salvation. May we join in the song of David. May we take to heart his words, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise unto the rock of our salvation. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Let's unite in prayer.